Order. Good morning. I've always wanted to be the speaker in the House of Commons. Good morning. Well done for coming out in such a cold, frosty morning. It's good to see you. Let's pray. Bless to us, God, this day, this new day. For you are the Lord of the morning, Lord of opportunity. So help us to spend it well. Bless to us, God, this time, this fleeting hour, this window you, the eternal, uses to shine upon the temporary, this blink of time when we can step back to see the pattern of our days, this blessed chance to remember we are blessed beyond belief. God eternal, you made us to be balanced people, whole people, at one with creation and at ease with each other. And what do? But cling to our blind spots, stand on our dignity, and trample the earth as if we owned it. Forgive us when we forget our littleness, when we adopt postures, when we forget togetherness and look for something to feel superior about. Forgive us when we forget we are made in your image and become mean-spirited and self-obsessed, far too easily impressed by image and appearance, searching and creative God, who makes community from the raw materials of our lives. Teach us humility to learn from those who know a true rejoicing through Jesus Christ, who simply revealed your glory. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today is taken from the New Living Translation, and it's from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink.
Thank you, Linda. The last couple of services that I've taken here in recent weeks, we've looked at some of the words of Jesus. I want to look at some of his words again today, but I'm particularly wanting to focus for some minutes on how Paul, or Saul, responded with questions. Questions that we ourselves might ask of God. But first, I want to tell you about a woman who went on holiday to Ireland. She discovered in the process of planning the holiday that she had some distant relatives there, and so decided to look one or two of them up. And one of them that she visited was a distant uncle, someone she'd never met before, who was a sheep farmer. And so when she arrived at her uncle's farm, he predictably showed her around. Showed her around the farm and showed her the flock. And in amongst the flock were a number of lambs. And she noticed one of the lambs had a splint on its leg. And she said to him, "How did that happen?" And her uncle said, "Oh, the little devil kept running away, so I broke its leg." I'll return to that conversation a bit later in this message. Maybe we shouldn't be all that surprised at the uncle's remarks. I recently heard a prison chaplain say to a prisoner on being released, "If I see you back in here again, prison, I'll break both your legs." Now, there were words intended to mean go straight. Don't find yourself back here in prison. I think the early Christians could have been forgiven for wanting to break Saul's legs. In the Acts of Apostles, we learn that he was a menace to the followers of the way, the young emerging Christian church. Saul hated Jesus. He hated Christians. He hated anything to do with Christianity. If you remember, this was the young man who in chapter 7 of Acts watched over the coats of the various men who stoned the apostle Stephen. This is the man, Saul, who ravaged the church, barged into houses, dragged off men and women, and imprisoned them. This is the man that wanted to destroy the very body of Christ. And so, in chapter 9, our first reading there, armed with arrest warrants, Saul is off to Damascus to round up more Christians. Or so he thought, because on that road, his life was about to change. Let me just read again a couple of the verses from chapter 9. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul was a Jew. He grew up in a Pharisee's home. He was taught the life of a Pharisee. And later he was very fortunate to be taught by Gamaliel, who was probably one of the top Jewish teachers of the time. So Saul knew all about Jewish laws and rules. And this was largely because his religion was inherited. It had been passed down. He complied with it, probably without question. It's a lesson for us. When we are asked about our faith, we should explain the basics, the tenets of Christianity. We should explain the morals and ethics that surround our faith and influence our behaviour. And of course, we should tell others about Jesus Christ and what he did. But we have to get away from this idea that faith is all about practice and tradition. Many people out there see it as singing the same old songs, praying the right prayers, standing up for the right things, and opposing social change. They all have their place, but we don't want others simply to inherit our religious practices and traditions. We want them to discover God in Christ for themselves, so they might enter into a relationship with him. In one sense, Saul was a deeply religious man, but he missed out on a real relationship with God. By his way of it, he was doing what God wanted. He was doing God's business, but he was completely out of step with God's will. Perhaps if we are being honest with ourselves, we know how Saul felt. Perhaps we know God has been or is prompting us, urging us, calling us. Perhaps we are doing what we believe is the business of the church. But is it what God wants? In his desire to do God's business, Saul was blinded. He was blinded by hate and anger and a fear that his religion and his religious ways were under threat. On the road to Damascus, that all changed. Instead of being blinded by his own concerns and his own agenda, Saul is literally blinded, but this time by the light, a heavenly light, the glory of Christ. And the light is so dazzling and so shocking to him that it knocks him to his feet. Knocks him off his feet. And then there's that voice. Saul. Saul. Why are you persecuting me? Dazed and bewildered, all Saul could say was, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" I'm going to hear a second reading, and it's similar to the first, by purpose. But this time, what happened, the account, is told by Paul himself to a baying crowd of fellow Jews.
The second reading is taken from the New Living Translation, Acts 22, verses 1 to 11. "Brothers and esteemed fathers," Paul said, "listen to me as I offer my defense." When they heard him speaking in their own language, there was silence. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. As I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting." The people with me saw the light but didn't understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, "What should I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do." I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions.
I actually do believe God suddenly and unexpectedly breaks into people's lives. I like that painting up there, most unusual. Saul on his knees here, and you can see in what looks like a tree-like image, Jesus standing over him, asking the question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And being knocked off your feet, if you like, isn't something that is reserved for converts to our faith. Christians aren't immune either, particularly if we rail or kick against God, or when we resist God's prodding and pursuit of us, ignoring his voice in that inner being of ours, or when we pursue things that we instinctively know we shouldn't. Being brought to our knees in that way may seem harsh and unloving, but God does it so he can raise us up again, dust us down, and set us on the right path. I've recently seen friends, loving parents, deciding to intervene and break the will and ways of a child. A child who had become rebellious, angry, and disrespectful. They did it so they could raise the child up again, dust them down, and give them a fresh start. In Saul's case, being knocked off his feet helped him discover a loving, caring God, prepared to forgive. In the child's case, being knocked off its feet was a reminder of loving, caring parents, also prepared to forgive. When Saul is brought to his knees in that blinding light, which is witnessed by other people, he is changed. Saul realizes this isn't the God he served or identified with. God to him had been a distant and aloof God. A God who laid down hundreds, literally 600 or 700, Jewish do's and don'ts. And then he hears the voice from the light saying, "I am Jesus, the Nazarene, who you are persecuting." The American actor and film star Will Smith, there he is in the middle, in a recent interview, I think about his new movie, which comes out next week, Will Smith recalled sitting between Nelson Mandela and Muhammad Ali. And Will Smith was saying how he was bowled over, knocked off his feet. He said, "I felt so small in the company of such great individuals. Despite my success on the big screen," he said, "I felt like a nobody." Saul must have felt the same way. Small, nothing, in awe of the divine presence. He now understood that Stephen had been right in proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. In those moments, and by the grace of God, Saul became a new man. And the proof, if you need it, is there in Saul's second question. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He gave up. He surrendered. And he offered himself to Christ. Saul has asked two of the most important questions we can ever ask God in Christ. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Questions that we Christians should ask and keep asking, so that we refresh our understanding of God in Christ, and so we may deepen our relationship with him. For it is then that Christ points us to our better selves, to a way of being in which we can touch and see the Holy at work in our daily lives. And with so many people today searching for meaning, searching for purpose, for respite from themselves, one of our main tasks, surely, as Christ's church, must be to help others encounter Christ wherever and whenever we can. And then, with God's grace, they too will be raised up out of situations and circumstances they could never get out of themselves, raised up to start again, to find purpose, to find meaning and direction and fulfillment. I began by telling you about a woman who visited her uncle's farm, sheep farm in Ireland. I think, rather like some of you, she was appalled that her uncle had broken the lamb's leg to stop it running away. "Why did you do that?" she asked. "Well," said the uncle, "every time it ran away, it was in danger. From falling, from traffic, from predators. Every time it ran away, I had to go after it and find it. Then I'd put him back in the flock, and the next thing, he was off again. So I broke his leg, but I splinted it, and I raised him up again. And this means I now have to care for him, feed, water, talk, comfort him. But he knows my voice. He comes to me when I call. He knows I care about him. And now I will be able to lead him. And the rest of the sheep, they'll follow. And one day, he'll be the best sheep in the entire flock." That is what God did to Saul. He brought him to his knees and then raised him up and restored him again. And in the process, Saul discovered the true and living God, who is Christ Jesus. May we, like Paul, go on our way, lifted up, raised up, to face whatever lies ahead. And may we go in great confidence, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ attends us, the love of God surrounds us, and the Holy Spirit is with us always. Amen.